God bless you all on this Sunday of the Passion, this Palm Sunday. And as Christians, this week is the center of really the whole church's year that began at Advent. This is one of the most striking contrasts of this day. Jesus rides into Jerusalem surrounded by shouts of glory, laud, and honor, only to be left alone to die on the cross, abandoned by even his closest friends. Only the women and the beloved disciples stay. Mark's gospel presents Jesus in his complete human vulnerability. Jesus is agitated and grieved and scared and forsaken. Though we lament Christ's suffering and all human suffering, we also expect God's salvation. And as we receive the wine and bread today at home, Jesus promises that his death will mark a new covenant with all people. We enter this holy week thirsty for the completion of God's astonishing work. And I ask you, because we're not in church, we don't have palms, to look at the palms of your own hands and to put a sign of the cross in both hands. And when we bless the palms, hold your palms up towards heaven and know that they're blessed. So you, your palms, and you can be blessed and be a blessing this Palm Sunday. And so we begin our liturgy today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately, as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found the colt tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them that Jesus had said they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks in the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along the way. Blessed these palms of our hands and those people who have their palms raised in celebration. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross so that, joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you through the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Singing number hymn 344, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
All glory. Glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel and David's royal son. Now in the Lord's name coming, our King and Blessed One. All glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The company of angels are praising you on high. Creation and all mortals in chorus make reply. All glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The multitude of pilgrims with psalms before you went. Our praise and prayer and anthems before you we present. All glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. To you before your passion they sang their hymns of praise. To you now high exalted, our melody we raise. All glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Their praises you accepted, accept the prayers we bring. Great author of all goodness, O good and gracious King, all glory, loud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter. The Passion story in Mark's Gospel presents Jesus as the one who dies abandoned by all. He shows himself to be the true Son of God by giving his life for those who had forsaken him. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they have brought against you." But Jesus made no further reply. so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now, a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do it for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowds to give the release of Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him to the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine and mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot even save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who had been facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man is God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoned the centurion. He asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in linen cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where the body was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. A man came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. People laid palm branches on the road ahead of him. And as he rode into the city, the people shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David." And everybody there saw the same thing. Or did they? Let's look at the disciples. The disciples, they saw the Messiah. They'd known it for weeks, but for some reason, Jesus told them to keep it a secret. Now, by fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, entering the holy city on a donkey, Jesus was affirming it himself. He was giving them permission to shout it to the world. And then there was the crowd. And they saw the Messiah, and more joined in, yelling, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" They had hope. Here was the healer, the one who multiplied the loaves and the fishes. No more hunger, no more disease. Rome itself was now in danger. The true king was arriving. He will restore the great King David's kingdom. And there were also the Pharisees, and they were looking too, but what they saw wasn't the Messiah. They saw, rather, a disturbance and a threat. The Romans would not appreciate such a display. Pilate would see that there was religious and political overtones to this, and he would blame the Pharisees. And there were others who may have seen a curiosity or a nuisance, a disturbance in the streets. And of course, there was Jesus. And what did Jesus see? We must remember that Jesus could see his Father working in all things. So his eyes saw every person, every palm tree, every situation very deeply, very hopefully, and very lovingly, and very much aware. He, of course, saw the Kidron Valley, the city walls, the temple, the palms and garments, but most importantly, on the donkey, he saw the people. He saw beneath their faces to their hearts, and even deeper into their souls. And he heard the songs of praise. He saw the old women and the crippled old men and the beggars and all the children gathered like happy children at a parade. There was joy all around him, hope, expectation. Deep down, he knew who he was. Now, the people were confirming what he already knew. He knew he was doing God's will. There's such a deep sense of confidence and happiness that comes from doing God's will. Have you ever known that feeling? Well, Jesus had that feeling that day. When some Pharisees wanted Jesus to stop all the commotion, Jesus told them the time was ripe. This was of God. If people were still and they couldn't shout Hosanna, then creation itself would cry out, "Praise the Lord." The rocks and stones would start to sing. Jesus maintained his faithful, hopeful, love-filled attitude towards all that was going on. even as he passed the skull-shaped hill called Golgotha, where crucifixions took place, Jesus could still affirm the love of God. At the same time, Jesus saw something the crowds would later discover. This procession of palms and hosannas was an invasion. It was Almighty God breaking into human history. From this moment on, life would never be the same. Do you know what was the greatest irony of Holy Week? Not that the crowds shouting Hosanna would soon be shouting crucify him. Not even that God would transform the tragedy of the cross into the triumph of the empty tomb. The greatest irony is that 21 centuries later, you and I still think that we can sit back with our arms folded, deciding what we want to make of this parade, when in reality, the one on the donkey is judging us. From the very moment Jesus Christ steps into your life, you are either with him or against him. Since the moment when God invaded our human life at our baptism, there is no neutral ground, no middle of the road. And Jesus comes as the humble Messiah with his humility, and he judges us and makes a mockery of our pride, our neglect of things that make for peace, our preoccupation with earthly treasure and over heavenly treasures, our forgetfulness that God is always with us and God is love, and only in love can we know God, and only in love can we truly know our neighbors and one another. Jesus looks at our misplaced priorities and he weeps. And leads us to the cross to give us a new perspective on life, a new attitude toward life, what it's all about. And to those of you who, in the power of the Holy Spirit, view life from the perspective of the cross, in humility, in service to others, in openness to the will of God, in love of God and neighbor and yourself, there are rewards beyond measure. Someone who viewed life from the perspective of the cross was Helen Keller. She was both deaf and blind, but she has much to teach us about the nature of seeing, listening to the eye who cannot see, find hundreds of things to interest her. Through touch. She said, I feel the delicate symmetry of a leaf. I pass my hands lovingly about the smooth skin of a silver birch or the rough, shaggy bark of a pine. I feel the delightful, velvety texture of a flower and discover its remarkable convolutions. And something of the miracle of nature is revealed to me. Occasionally, if I am very fortunate, I place my hand gently on a small tree and feel the happy quiver of a bird in full song. At times, my heart cries out with longing to see these things. If I can get so much pleasure from mere touch, how much more beauty must be revealed by sight? Yet those who have eyes apparently see little. The panorama of color and action which fills the world is often taken for granted. It is a great pity that in the world of light, the gift of sight is used only as a mere convenience rather than as a means of adding fullness to the awesome reality of life. Now, how does a deaf and blind lady have such insight, such an attitude? How does a man suffering on the cross, hanging there naked and exposed, in terrible pain and suffering, and excruciating pain, manage to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Only by the power of the grace of God, God who is love, God who we only know as we love and as we look in love for all of God's creation and for all and every human being. What do you see from where you are sitting right now? Do you see fear and anxiety and frustration and depression and sin and self-pity? Are you struck with a deformative lifestyle and attitude? Or do you see the fruits of the Holy Spirit all around? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You cherish the gift of life you have right now. And do you work so all people will know that gift? Here comes one into your life today. It's not too late. Today, Jesus is riding into your life, humble and on a donkey. You can still see life as Jesus sees it if you do what St. Paul tells you in his letter to the Philippians. Take to heart among yourselves what you find in Christ Jesus. Only the grace of God in the power of the Holy Spirit can do that. Allow it to happen to you again, right now. The Spirit of Christ can lift you out of the senseless, negative, fearful atmosphere of people who don't know what time it is. You know, I'll tell you what time it is. This is the time. Now is the time of salvation, your salvation. The Lord is near. The King is here. This is no time to grovel in the basement, in the dark. It's time to come into the light, into the power of Christ, and catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God and the power and the glory forever and ever. Right now, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hymn number 351, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Number 351.
O Sacred Head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown. O Sacred Head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine! Yet thou despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abused and scorned. Does thy face now languish, which once was bright as morn? Thy grief and bitter passion were all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end. O make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. Lord, be my consolation, shield me when I must die, remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. These eyes new faith receiving from thee shall never move. For all who die believing die safely in thy love.
As God's people entering this holy week, we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us together now pray the prayers of the Church. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Lenten journey leads us to repentance and new life. Let us turn our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us pray for the Church, that it not grow weary in the witness and teachings of the good news of Jesus Christ, but courageously follow the way of the cross and proclaim the truth of Christ to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the world, that where persecutions and injustice hold sway, Jesus' rule of love would conquer and bring peace to all. Especially we ask for peace for our world, especially down in Colorado and Boulder, where there was a mass shooting again, the second in a week. We pray, Lord, for peace, and we pray for wise and good gun laws. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who are denigrated or persecuted because of race, political association, or religious conviction, that they may be supported by God's abundant grace, especially our brothers and sisters who are Asian, who are receiving persecution and being murdered now by racists. Let us pray for peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for baptismal candidates and their sponsors, that this holy week may be filled with grace as they prepare to enter the community of faith, that we may all be enriched in this sacred time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let us pray with thanksgiving for all the saints who live in the glory of Christ and whose joy is complete, that we may at last enter with them into the light of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who are hungry or in danger, and all who suffer illness or disease. Especially we pray for your healing touch on Bob and Don, Bruce, John, Kelly, Chuck, Joanne, Jeannie, Tom, and others who we name in our hearts, that God would cover them with protection and fill them with wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful and gracious God, hear our prayers. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. Uphold us with your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we pray and we get ready for Holy Communion. So you get your bread and wine ready as we hear the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, and when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink all of you from this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Christ shed for you, take the bread and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you come to us in the broken bread and the cup we share. Make us ready always to welcome Christ into our hearts and send us forth to be your people in the world, announcing your coming among us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, hymn number 338.
A home within a wilderness, upon the way from the burning of the noontide heat and burdens of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, my eye at times can see the very dying from of one who suffered there for me. And from my contrite heart, with tears, to wonders I confess the wonder of his glorious love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, your saddle for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory of the cross.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.